You would turn to page 50 of your book. Can you hear me okay? Yeah? Okay. So I'll be making a few points connecting the dots for today's reading. As we said last week, the book of Acts is read during this period between Easter and Pentecost in place of the normal epistle reading, a letter from the epistles. And the book of Acts, you know, talks about the early history of the church, focusing on the Acts of the various apostles, and finally, especially on the conversion of St. Paul and his missionary journeys. Passages from the books of Acts are read daily period from Easter to Pentecost, like I said. And the book of Acts was long ago appointed to be read during this period because it is used to teach the newly baptized and illumined Christians about what they would or what they were or would be experiencing now that they've received the grace through the sacraments. You see, there used to be designated times throughout the year when catechism was completed for a certain group of people and they would be baptized. Some of those days were Christmas Eve, the day before Epiphany, and of course Holy Saturday, right before Easter. So this particular time was kind of like postgraduate work for catechumens, or maybe Orthodoxy, no longer 101, but maybe like 201 or 301. So you should know that the Bible is a textbook of the church and not necessarily a public document. I mean, today you can buy it anywhere, see it anywhere. It is the church's text, and the church uses those texts and preaching and whatever. And so also then the Bible, like I said, is used for catechism teaching and also a touchstone for the church's doctrines and practices. Nothing that we teach, believe, or do should or does, you know, conflict with the scriptures. So anyway, some points about today's reading. We read about two miracles, and it relates to Peter's faith. And we should say about faith that faith is the mother of miracles, and then miracles, in return, bolster the faith. And we'll see how that happens. Peter, as an apostle and a chief of the apostles, had faith and charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit, including the gift of performing miracles and healings. He abided in Christ, and the Holy Spirit abided in him, and so Christ lived in him. And so he was, Peter then is an agent of Christ. That's why he said, Jesus Christ heals you, as if you were speaking on the, for the person of Christ. The man is healed, converted, and believed in Christ. This is one purpose of miracles, to get people's attention, to change their hearts, their minds, which is the essence of repentance, and ultimately to be baptized and start on the way of sanctification to the Lord's words. Notice, however, there was no advertising, no auditorium. There was no theater or drama involved in this. The Lord and his ministers don't need these things. Now, the second miracle was a little bit bigger. It was a raising from the dead of Tabitha.
First, let's say something about the name.
Can you hear me now? I was in the dead zone. Okay, sorry. Okay, good now? So the name, even in this passage of Acts, it says, you know, her name was Tabitha, which means Dorcas. Well, they shouldn't have stopped there. I mean, Dorcas is a Greek word. They should have said, which means what Dorcas is not a nice name to give a person, right? So her name, now that's a nice name. And also in her life, she demonstrated the swiftness, you know, of a gazelle, and she was swift to do the good works that she did. So say the commentators. In any case, that about her name. Dorcas, it's a Greek word, and they should have gone the extra step in the Bible and said, means gazelle, not some other foreign word. Anyway, so the purpose of raising Tabitha from the dead was for the sake of mercy, because she was ministering to all these widows and these poor people. And so now it was more or less to let her continue in her ministry. Think St. Paul in one of his letters, he said, it's better for me to leave. I would prefer to leave and go to the Lord, but stay a little longer and I won't. Something like that. She still had work that she could do to benefit the people. Now, raising someone from the dead and having their soul return into their body is a huge thing, a little bit apparently much greater than just healing a paralytic. And so the procedure that Paul uses is a little bit different. He actually empties the room, actually in imitation of the Lord, who when he raised the daughter of Jairus, he, except for her, two reasons. One is when there's a lot of crying and hubbub and this and the other, it's hard to concentrate. And he wanted to do some very concentrated prayer. And secondly, he didn't want a lot of people there so as not to sensationalize the miracle that was about to happen. Then Peter says, he prays, much like the Lord did when he raised Lazarus. Remember when the Lord raised Lazarus, he stopped and he did this rather extended prayer to his father and then raised Lazarus. So Peter, imitating his master and his teacher, does something similar. Then God resurrects the dead woman. And then Peter raises her from the bed, gives her a hand. Two things, that God does the things that we can't do, but we have to do the things we can do. Okay? The outcome of both miracles was that faith in Christ was spread. It was a fulfilling of what the Lord said, that the apostles' preaching will be accompanied by signs and miracles. Throughout Christian history, saints, men and women of great faith lived for four miracles, both for the sake of mercy and also to bolster the faith, to assure the faith of Christians, and to attract non-believers to Christ.